Welcome to Real Souls with yours truly, Peggy Bennett. I'm doing my first repeat guest today. I have on the show Nicolette Vaite. Welcome, Nicolette.
Thank you.
She was, I'm having her on again because of a couple reasons. She was so fun to be have on. And then also, she just brought so much information, and she's so generous with her offerings. She's, with any of the listeners here, she's offering a 20% discount for her services, which is very generous, and she's a wealth of knowledge. So the last episode that we spoke about was all about feng shui in your bedroom, which was very fun and exciting, and she included my bedroom as and also my home. And I want to let you know that I now have something in my relationship corner. Are you proud of me?
Did you buy some art?
I did.
Okay. Oh, right. You emailed me that picture. Is that the one you ended up getting?
I ended up getting something else, and I shifted the one piece that was in my dining room over to my living room relationship corner, and then got something new for the dining room.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
And what, did it have a little fire, a little spark, a little passion in it?
It has all the right colors.
Great.
And it makes me feel good.
Good.
So at the end of the day, isn't that what
it's
all
that matters?
I mean, yeah, I know.
No, it's true. It's how it makes you feel, how it sparks your nervous system, right?
Okay.
Does it make you feel good, or does it make you feel like you're afraid and you want to run away?
Well, it really feels good not having a blank
wall. Yeah, right? To walk into a blank wall and feel kind of empty.
So, we are, so I connected with Nicolette and said, well, we've done love, and why not? Because Real Souls to me, this podcast, I started it because I wanted to talk about everything I'm passionate about, which is love, relationships, dating, and manifesting your best life.
Mm-hmm.
So part of manifesting your best life, what comes under that umbrella is wealth.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, men and women, are always striving for that. And I think it's fascinating if we have additional tools, what are those that can just help those along? I mean, why not, right?
Why not?
A little about Nicolette's bio. I'm not going to go in a huge length because you can listen to the last episode on the one about love to revisit that. But in short, in 2003, Nicolette quit her corporate job with Warner Brothers and started her first professional organizing business with feng shui. She has been taught by master teachers, and that those teachers you can listen to in the previous episode. And one of her greatest joys is teaching workshops and classes. She has 5 online courses, as well as her vibrant feng shui YouTube channel, which has over 3.3 million views.
Woo-hoo!
Hello.
Little old me.
Gosh, that's amazing.
It really is, yeah.
And for you listeners, she is offering a discount. And before this recording, she was just sharing me with some of the listeners that are taking advantage of that.
They are. So, your listeners call and say, I heard you on Peggy.
I know. So is it true then? You can service anyone because it doesn't have to be just local. It can be virtual.
Right.
Is that correct?
Absolutely. Because of modern technology now, you know, Skype or FaceTime, it becomes my camera, it becomes my eyes, right? So a client, if they're long distance, and I do, I have clients all over the world, they'll send me some pictures of their home. But if there's anything else that I need to see in the session, they just show me on camera. So I have clients in Germany, in Australia, Puerto Rico, all over the U.S., Greece. I just got a new client in Greece.
Mm.
I know. They usually find me on YouTube, which is fun because they'll watch a few videos and go, you're the person I want to work with.
Mm.
Yeah.
How fascinating.
Yeah.
Gosh, to peek into people's homes.
I know, because you're peeking into their souls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Messing around in there.
Wow. So, so creating wealth with feng shui, that is the subject today.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to kind of, let's start diving into it. Mm-hmm. I have a couple notes, and the first one is two areas that reflect in the feng shui. And how do you pronounce that?
That's Bagua.
Bagua. Okay. Yeah. What does Bagua mean?
Well, it's a Chinese word, and it means, Ba means eight, and Gua means images. Eight images.
Okay.
So it's the nine square grid. If you look like a tic-tac-toe board,
okay,
right? The middle grid represents health and wellness, and you have eight other squares that touch that middle square,
okay,
which are the other eight life energies, so Ba, Gua. And each of those life energies has a three-line or trigram, a three-line image that represents all of the influences that affect that that area.
Okay.
So a trigram or an image. So eight images reflect that energy map that we place on top of a floor plan so we see where the energies fall in your home.
I'm with you. Okay, perfect. So the wealth corner is the back left corner.
Mm-hmm.
And are you saying that is on your first floor, your second floor, all of the above?
No, you know, it's the back left corner when you're standing in the front door looking into the house.
On the main floor.
On the main floor.
Okay.
And then if you go upstairs or downstairs, it all depends on which way the stairs turn the environment, right? Because you could walk up a flight of stairs, turn and walk up another flight. And then upstairs, your new front door is how you enter the upstairs or how you enter the downstairs. So the Bagua can turn.
Oh.
It's not necessarily the same on the main level and the upstairs level. So I don't often talk about upstairs or downstairs is because I need to see it to know which way the energy has shifted to say where the wealth corner might be or the relationship corner might be based on how you place the Bagua.
Should we keep it simple?
Yeah, let's talk about the main level. Or we're going to confuse people.
Totally. Okay. Yes, including me.
Oh.
Okay. No, I'm
You're with me.
No, I'm with you. There's overflow, caviar, champagne, extra. Let's get into all of this.
Yeah,
good stuff.
So the wealth sector, again, standing in your front door looking into the house, the back left sector of your house, if you break your house down, the main level of your house down into a nine square grid, it's the back left corner, the back left section of the home. And that's your wealth and prosperity area. And that area isn't about your work or your job. It's all about the extra. It's the champagne, the caviar, the vacations, the philanthropy, the generosity, the giving, the extra money. And we want to live in that bounty. We want to live in that abundance. The middle left sector of the nine square grid, the middle left sector, that's the family sector. And that area is about our financial support, our jobs, our having our basic needs met, our food on the table, clothing, shelter, family support to live our best lives.
Okay.
So there's those two areas that both are reflecting wealth and prosperity in the home. One being the overflow, the extra, and one being my basic needs are met and I'm good so I can go out into the world and express what I'm here to do.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Never knew about that. Okay.
And then in these areas, both family and in the wealth sector, the whole area is represented by the element of wood, the wood element. So there are five elements in Chinese medicine, and we use the same five elements in feng shui because it's a Chinese practice.
Okay.
And we look for the elements in the home to see where we might be out of balance. Just like an acupuncturist or a naturopath might look at your body and say, oh, your body has too much fire or your body has too much metal. And how do we heal that energy?
Hmm.
Same with the wealth corner and the family corner. The energy we want to see there is wood. And that's because a tree grows upward and bears fruit. So it represents wealth and prosperity.
Mm, I was just going to ask why that is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
like what kinds of, what kind of things
yes.
would you put in there that at the same time, you want it to look good, too.
Of course. Now, feng shui is an art and a science, right? That's how feng shui is described. The science part is if you want to enhance your wealth and prosperity, you enhance your wood energy. And the art part is that you enhance it in your unique expression. So some ways that you can symbolize wood, the wood energy, is bringing in actual wood. So you could have, if you had a fireplace there, you could have a wood mantle. Or if you had an area where you could put a tree, a plant in that back left corner in the window. You can actually, so you can bring in the element itself, wood. A piece of driftwood on the mantle could be really beautiful. Or you can bring in color. So the colors for wood are light blue, green, and teal. Those are the colors that represent wood in the feng shui feng shui practice. So let's say I have a bathroom there. I might paint my bathroom teal or green, or bring in a shower curtain that has some green in it and some green towels so that I'm enhancing the wood element to enhance the energy of wealth and prosperity in the home. The other thing you could do is bring in things that have the shape of a column. A column shape that looks like a tree. So if I had a shower curtain with big, thick pinstripes, big, thick green, I can't say that, pinstripes on the shower curtain, I'm bringing in the green for the color, but I'm also bringing in the shape of a column. You know, so you might have a giraffe, like a wood giraffe sitting in that back corner because that giraffe looks like a big, tall tree. So first of all, what color is the back left corner of your space?
So I have a clear glass table, pedestal table. On top of it is a tall green leafy plant. Okay. But guess what?
What?
It's faux.
So I forgive you. Because... the grandmaster of feng shui, Professor Lin Yun, he said that if you use a fake plant and it looks real.
It totally looks real.
And it's healthier than a real plant would be because you don't have a green thumb.
Correct. Right? That would be me.
Right. So if you have a plant that's always dying, then you have this dying energy in your wealth corner.
Right.
You have this beautiful fake plant, but it looks real. And you probably dust it every now and then and make sure that it looks good. Maybe at Christmas time, put a little Christmas lights on it or something. Yes, no, maybe.
Sure. I will now.
Yeah, sure. Why not? But you described two tall things. You described a tall plant, right? Mm-hmm. So a plant is the wood energy and the tallness of it is also wood energy. And a pedestal table tends to be kind of tall as well. Glass represents water. And when we get into the constructive cycle of energy, one element will feed another element. So you can also have water in this area because water feeds the wood element, just like watering a tree. So water will nourish the wood energy that you want there. So if you can't bring in something tall or you can't bring in a tree, you can bring in some water energy and have the same positive effect by enhancing that area, like a little water fountain or a piece of artwork that has a water in it. Or you can bring in a goldfish or anything that's wavy in shape, wavy or amorphous in shape. You could have an odd-shaped bowl, and that can represent water in that area. So water and wood are the two elements that we want in the wealth corner.
So I don't know if I mentioned it last episode, but right next to it is I purchased this last year. It's a, I would say, 4 feet tall, lit up angel.
Oh, you told me about the angel.
And it's still lit up, and I still have it. Like, I never packed it because I just fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, I have this beautiful wood, kind of unique wood table that houses the TV. So I'm sure the TV is not good energy, but the wood itself is beautiful.
You know, the TV can be okay energy. First of all, wood and angel, fabulous. Look at this. In your wealth corner, you have lots of wood represented, and you have this beautiful angel. You know, to really connect with that angel and connect with your wealth consciousness, your wealth spirituality is a great symbol in your wealth corner. So you're rocking it.
Good.
So far. The TV's fine. Usually televisions are black when they're turned off.
Right.
And black is the color for water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you have more water there. You just want to be careful sometimes when we have a television in the wealth corner. Sometimes we can have like an illusion of how our wealth is going to come to us. We can be like, oh, I'm going to win the lottery, or I'm going to get that great job and I'm going to make $500,000 a year, because the television itself is an illusion. Mm-hmm. What happens on a TV is all make-believe, right? So sometimes you have to just check in with your own energy and your own... I've worked with a lot of actors because I had my business in Los Angeles a while. And if they had their TV in the wealth corner, I was always a little concerned. Like they're dependent on...
No, I could see that.
...making their money in this certain way.
Right. No, I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what about earth and wood conflicting?
Right. Yeah, you did your homework. So... if you think of the earth's crust and a tree, when a tree grows through the earth, it has to break through the earth's crust to grow. It means that the wood element and the earth element are conflict with each other. They destroy each other. So if you have too much earth energy in your wealth corner, then you're in a destructive cycle of energy. And you could look to see, like, is your wealth corner painted any shades from, like, yellows to browns, which is the earth energy? Do you have a lot of earthen pots? Do you have artwork of just, like, the earth and grass and flowers and stuff? If you have too much earth energy, then you're depleting your natural wealth energy in the wealth sector.
Interesting.
Similarly, fire, because fire melts metal. I'm sorry, fire melts metal, but it also burns wood. So a lot of people have their fireplaces tucked in the back of the house, right, in a living space. So if you have a fireplace in the back left corner, you have too much fire energy because fire burns wood. So you want to make sure to add some water because water will put out the fire, right, so that the wood can do what it's there to do. And wood actually soaks up water. So water is an excellent cure for your wealth corner, especially if you have a fireplace there. You can have a big piece of artwork on above your mantle that's of water of some kind. Yeah, Lake Washington. Yeah. Puget Sound.
I don't have a fireplace, so there you go.
That's good. That's good.
Now, let's move to the front door.
Before we do that, I just want to say that everything that I've already shared also pertains to the family sector, because both of these areas are ruled or enhanced by the wood energy.
Okay.
So it's good to have wood and water, teal, light blue, green, and black as colors to enhance that area, but not fire and not earth and not metal. Those are the areas you don't want in that area. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. So you do have a little fire in your area with your angel, because you said your angel's lit up. And all lights represent fire. It's illumination.
Okay.
Right?
I was thinking of that.
Yeah. You have a lot of wood and water there already with your television and your wood table and stuff. But you could bring in a small cure that represented water just to mitigate some of the fire that the angel is illuminating into your space.
Okay.
Yeah. It could be a little amorphous shaped bowl. It could be a glass of water. Like if you were on a budget and you couldn't afford anything, you could literally put a glass of water there and claim it as your cure. A little goldfish, a little fish, a little turtle, anything that represents water will mitigate some of that fire and just cool it off a little bit.
Interesting. Okay. So the front door. Let's talk about that.
The front door. So the front door is known to be the most important architectural feature of the home. The front door, right? It's because it's the place where all of the new energy, all of the energy of the universe, of nature, comes into the house.
Okay.
So we want to make sure that the front door is in really good working order so that energy will come in, rush in, and stay in the house, rather than there being an issue with the front door where the dynamic energy of the universe can't get into the house in the first place. So we want to take a look at the front door and in a way sort of honor the front door. If we anthropomorphize the front door, we want to really respect it and give it the attention that it needs. So you want to make sure it opens all the way, that there's no squeaks when it opens. Like those squeaks, is like a horror movie, right? When you hear that squeak, like something bad is coming.
Oh, I see. Wait, right? Yeah. Totally.
Right? You want to make sure it doesn't stick. You want to make sure the lock works properly. You want to make sure it's nice and clean and doesn't need a paint job. If it does, give it a nice new coat of paint. We want to really make sure the front door feels welcoming and beautiful. And it's almost like a big neon sign saying, hey, good energy, come over here. Mm-hmm. Come on into my house. Which is similar to saying to friends and family and people to say, hey, come on into my house. Because when people come through the threshold, they're bringing all their yang energy with them into your house. It's a blessing. So good ways also is to make sure you keep the front porch swept up nicely. You can light it up. You can light up your front door. Make sure you have a nice front stoop porch light that works really well. You can even put a spotlight on your front door, especially if you have a, you know, beautiful front door, one of those spotlights that comes on so that the front door is almost like, stands out from the rest of the house and really welcomes in the new energy. A lot of people actually have hidden front doors, like a hidden door, meaning that the house or the apartment building or the townhomes are built sideways to the street to make use of like a smaller property lot, right? Mm-hmm. So they build it all sideways and they put the front door on the side yard instead of on the street. Well, in feng shui, that street that your house is on represents this dynamic river of, it's like the rivers that we used to have, a dynamic river of flowing water. There's your wealth again, right? Of flowing water, opportunities, a dynamism of energy that you pull into the front door. But if your house is turned sideways away from the street, it's a consideration that you have a hidden front door. So you can't see the opportunities that are coming your way, and you might miss an opportunity or two. They might go right by you, go right by your house.
Does that include, I don't live in something like this, but does that include like an apartment?
Yeah. So when I lived in Los Angeles, there were a ton of apartment buildings where all of the apartment doors opened sideways because it's a narrow lot and they're making use of the narrow lot, right? So a great way to cure a hidden front door is to hang a wind chime by the front door on the side that the door opens. So the wind chime is sort of like a little signal to the universe is saying, hey, there's a door over here. Come over here. Make sure you pick a wind chime that sounds good. That doesn't irritate your nerves, right? Because some of them are so like tinkly and high-pitched.
Right.
So it's good to find one that goes bong, bong, bong instead of tinkle, 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 tinkle. Just so that you enjoy the sound. Mm-hmm. And I have on days specifically on very windy days, I will tie my wind chime up just to quiet it down on a windy day because it's not fair to the neighbors and I certainly can't sleep either with it just ringing away like that. So you want to stay conscious of that as well. And another way to draw attention to a hidden door is to use lights, of course, the wind chime, or anything that like is moved by the wind. So flags are great, little twirly garden what would you call those little, remember the
pinwheels?
Pinwheels. The little kids had them. So the wind moves them, and wind is a very dynamic energy. And if you have them by the front door, like stuck in the ground by your front door entrance or by in the garden, it pulls energy towards the front door as well. Mm. Anything that is dramatic and dynamic. And then swirly things like that. So once you get inside the front door, there are other things to consider as well regarding your wealth as well. So when I go to a client's house and I walk in the front door, and right at the front door, you have all of the coats and the backpacks and the music instruments and the books and all. It's just a dumping ground on that first foyer table when you first walk in. That's a depletion of your energy. That can just totally wipe you out because you're out in the world doing your thing, working, or who knows what you're doing, take care of the family, whatever. And then you come home and the first thing you do is pass through this mess by the front door, and it immediately depletes your energy. Your whole nervous system goes into, ugh, now I have to work in my house. Mm. And the house should be an invitation for you to come in and just rest and relax, rejuvenate, reinvigorate so that you can take all of your whole self back out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
So the front, as soon as you enter the foyer or the front room when you first walk in, should be beautiful and welcoming and inviting instead of covered with chores of things that need to be done.
Mm-hmm. You know, no, that makes total sense.
And it's so easy to do, to come in and just dump.
Right.
At the front door. And it's challenging in Seattle and in other states where we have climate.
Right.
And temperature.
The umbrellas and the coats and everything else.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's healthy to think of unique ways of storing those things so they're put away rather than just hanging out. Oftentimes you walk in and you see like a little hooks, right? And people mm-hmm. just throw their coats on the hooks. And you think that you're saving space by doing it that way. Well, a small closet there would be very similar, and all that stuff would be put away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wouldn't mm-hmm. take up any more space. Just enough to hide your stuff so that your nervous system isn't triggered by it when you come home. Because if you're triggered and you're exhausted and you're not rejuvenating and resting in your house, then when you go out into the world to make your money, you're too tired and you miss opportunities and you're not clear-minded. And
right, not a good combination.
Exactly, yeah. There's also, with the front door for a wealth leak, there's a wealth leak
okay. If
you have a front door-back door alignment. So if I walk in the front door and I can see the back door in my line of sight,
I can see my sliding glass door.
You can. Yeah. So that's a symbol of money coming in and going right out. And it's almost like, I'm working so hard. Where's all my money? Like, why do I always have money, but it's always going out into the world. It's always going out for bills or going out to somebody else. Why can't I keep it in the house? And that's because it's like this bowling alley of energy. It comes in, it goes right out. So there's two ways you can cure that. The first is to somehow put a plant between the front and the back door, anywhere along that hallway. And you have a tree already back there, you said.
Yes, like in the corner.
In the corner. So it might not be working as a cure. Because the plant will slow down the energy so that it's not racing to the back door. And another thing you could do is hang a crystal in your sliding glass door, in the window of your sliding glass doors, like from the curtain rod or something. Because in feng shui, crystals represent the energy of the sun.
Mm.
And the sun is all nourishing, all giving, always there, even when we can't see it, supplying us with nutrients and wellness, vitamin D, right? It's always giving. So if you have this like wall of sunshine separating the front and the back door, then you have all of this nourishment also slowing down. It's almost like a block saying all that good energy can't go past this barrier of goodness, of delicious energy.
I had heard that before, so I, and tell me if this was right or wrong. Mm-hmm. So I only have so much space in a townhome, but I created kind of a little mini seating area where there's two chairs and a little table mm-hmm. in the line of path to for a conversation area.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's only so many options.
I know, yeah.
So what do you think of that?
And that's between the front door and the back door?
Yeah.
On that table, I'd add a plant.
Ah.
Right?
Okay.
It doesn't have to be big.
Okay.
Because in feng shui, our intention is what really matters. Your intention that plant is going to slow down the energy. You're kind of giving the plant a job. You're saying, oh, plant, thank you for slowing down the energy and keeping my wealth in the house instead of letting it leak out the
perfect,
back door.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because our intentions are stronger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, just a plant willy-nilly in a random place would look silly. But okay, that's great.
Right. And I haven't seen your place, so I would, if I had seen it, I could have given you more specific insights. But this sounds perfect.
No, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to make sure the front door opens all the way. You don't want
anything
behind it.
What's the deal about 8 gold rocks?
Oh, you're jumping ahead.
Well, yeah. Just because of time.
Oh, right. Of course. I am just talking away. We could talk forever. This is a really fun feng shui cure. I have a couple of fun feng shui cures that people can do right away. So one of them is to take 8 like river rocks, about the size of your palm, and spray paint them gold.
Mm.
And then you pile them up to the right side of the front door. And they're your little pot of gold that is an energy, calling in the energy of abundance and prosperity. And I have them outside my front door. And every 4 or 5 months, I re-spray paint them because they start to wear from weather.
Hmm.
But you have this dynamic. And then I have a Buddha sitting in front of the gold rock, sitting right in front of the Buddha, mm-hmm. just as a way of honoring prosperity and abundance by my front door and welcoming it into my house,
hmm.
right? It's a really fun cure, and you use 8 rocks because 8 is the representation of abundance.
Okay.
In feng shui. It's about the material world and being in balance with the material world. So you're neither poor nor super, super rich, but just thriving in life, walking that sort of middle line. And then another fun feng shui wealth cure that you can do is, do you know those little gold mechanical cats where the paw of the cat?
Yeah.
That's a little sweet little Chinese tchotchke, but it has a powerful meaning.
I've seen those.
Yeah. If you get one of those, the arm doesn't actually have to move. It doesn't have to be a mechanical one. It could be a little statue.
Mm-hmm.
You put that inside the front door of the house so that from the front door you can see it, or you put it inside the front door of your office so that you can see it by the front. So when you walk in the office, you can see it. Because the legend is that there was this little cat that lived with a monk in an impoverished little temple somewhere, and a nobleman was walking by, and it started to rain. There was this huge storm, and the nobleman hid under a tree to wait out the storm, and he saw the cat. The cat came out of the temple and just sat, and then he raised his paw, and he kind of pulled his paw toward the temple, and the nobleman stood up and walked toward the temple just as the tree was struck by lightning. Mm. So then the nobleman, of course, gave all of this money to the temple. Right. So
mm-hmm.
that's the whole sort of lore of why that little cat calls in all that money.
I never knew that.
I know. It's cute.
Mm. So let's move on.
Sure.
Just due to time.
Of course.
Dining room table.
Yes. So in feng shui, the dining room table represents our long-term financial investments, our safety and our security. Think of like those 4 legs on the ground, stability. And what do we do on a dining room table? We nourish each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
We nourish our bodies and our souls.
Mm-hmm.
We can sit around a dining room table for hours just talking and drinking wine,
mm-hmm.
having a good meal. So one, if you have a dining room table and you're not using it, you're missing out on the extra abundance that the dining room table represents. So a lot of times people have these eating kitchens. And it's just so easy to just eat in the kitchen or sit on the counter at the counter, you know? But if you have an official dining room, you should make a plan to eat there at least once a week with mm-hmm. your family, and have, when you have guests over, always use the dining room table. You want to use the dining room table.
I do that.
You do?
Yes, I do that. And then I also afterwards, like sometimes with my kids, play card games.
Yes. That's what I mean by nourishing each other's.
Yes.
Not just your body, but your soul, your heart, you know, mm-hmm. by connecting with other people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people will use the dining room table to try to build a business because they don't have an office in their space, in their home, right? So you have your computer and all your books on the dining room table, and now you're splitting the purpose of the dining room table, right? You're splitting it. Now you're focusing on building a business, and it's supposed to be to just be an enhancement for your wealth and prosperity and your stability and security, so that the energy or the focus of the dining room table is split. So if you are trying to build your business on your dining room table, it's best to be able to pack everything up at the end of the day so that the dining room table can have its ultimate purpose, so that purpose isn't split.
Does that makes sense. Yeah. Pack it up. Yeah.
So not have your printer and your computer and all your stuff there, but enough where you can just pack it up and put it away mm-hmm. for the day so that you can have your meal.
So when it's meal time, it's ready for a dining room table.
Yeah. Or same with using it for storage. People just come in and dump their stuff on their dining room table. And when you have too much stuff on that table, it loses its energy of its purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So you're blocking the ability to call in that stability and that
stress. Plus, I would think it just added stress.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah, because your nervous system.
Your nervous system, yeah.
And you're like, ugh, now I have to clean the dining room table. Now I have to cook.
I'm
just going to have some potato chips.
So speaking of cooking, how about the stove?
So where the front door is the number one architectural feature of the home, the stove is the number one symbol for wealth in the house.
Oh, okay.
So if you can feed your family, you're wealthy, right? If you could at least put on a pot of rice, you're considered to be a wealthy family. So you want to really honor your stove. Even in China, they actually believe that there's a stove god mm-hmm. and that you can pray to the stove god, and you can ask the stove god to bless your home and with fortune, and to bless your body with good nutrition. And
excuse me.
And you can even bless your stove, and you want to keep it clean. You want to make sure that you're using all four burners. It's very easy to use the front two burners and not use the back two.
Uh-huh.
So you want to make sure you're rotating your tea kettle at least, and using all four burners. Otherwise, you have four burners, but you might only be using two. So now you're firing on two cylinders instead of four cylinders. So there's a pure intention of using all four burners. Will that alone will spark up some financial energy in your home and in your life. Just around the stove. This is all feng shui woo woo.
So, okay. This is so great. Now, because of the time, we're needing to wrap up.
But, already? Oh my gosh.
But what are some additional, your desk or bed that you want, just quick tips that you have?
Yes. For desk and bed, both, they should be in command position. And we talked about that in the last podcast. Just make sure that you can see the door when you're sitting at your desk or in your bed, because the bed is about self-mastery, like the master bedroom, having mastery over your life, knowing who you are, what you're doing in the world. And the desk being the platform from which you create your life. Even if you're just checking emails at your computer, or if you're building a business, or you're writing a book, or you're writing music at your desk, that desk represents the platform from which you leap out into the world with your creativity and your personal expression. So your desk is super important. And both of those, the bed and the desk, should be in command position, being able to see the door in the room without being in alignment with the door. And you can hear more in that other podcast that we did.
Okay.
Yeah, the one on love. I think we talked about command a little bit more.
Yeah. No, that's great. So I know.
It just flew by.
I know it flew by, but all the more reason for people just to get to know you on YouTube and mm-hmm. contact you and find out more and hire you to go through their homes and whether it's virtual or in person. So for those who are interested in doing that, and especially for the listeners that you're so nice about to honor a discount, yes. How do people find you?
Yes, you can find me first on my website, where I have a lot of free stuff, inspiredlivingfengshui.com. Go poke around, watch videos, read the blog. My email is nicolette@inspiredlivingfengshui.com, and my cell phone is on my website. And the YouTube channel is inspiredlivingfengshui.com. So lots of ways to find me.
Fabulous. Yeah. And for myself, you can reach me at straighttotheheart.net for matchmaking. Any questions, you can contact me. I know that matchmaking is somewhat new in the city of Seattle, and anyone who has any questions, feel free to reach me personally and I can answer any questions. And also, I am launching a new coaching program, and it's the 8-step system to manifesting your soulmate. And I created 8 steps, Nicolette.
Number 8 for abundance.
I didn't even know that.
You have strong intuition. You didn't even know it.
So you can reach me and find out more information on that. I'm really excited about, I've already dived into that. So it's an 8-step system on manifesting your soulmate. Again, this is Peggy Bennett, Real Souls Podcast. And have a great day, everyone.